Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up and welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Today I have a little different show. A few weeks ago, in episode number 17, I interviewed Tony Booth. And Tony is a business coach for contractors. Yeah, just like me. But on that show, I talked to Tony about a great tool that he uses to evaluate how your contracting company is doing and not only identify the areas that need improvement, but what to do to get your business back in balance and running on all cylinders. And that means making more money and freeing up your time. If you haven't listened to it, I really recommend you go back and check it out. But anyway, for today's show, Tony asked me if I would come on to his podcast, The Contractor Coach Cast, and talk about an ebook that I wrote recently about identifying your ideal customer and why all your marketing efforts have to start there first. Without knowing who that target customer is, it's just going to be spray and pray. Throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. You know, drag in that big wide net and all you're going to get is those same crappy leads where all they want to do is beat you down on your price and bitch about every little thing. And you've probably got enough of those. So today, I talk with Tony about how to attract only the qualified leads, the 20% that make up 80% of your profit type of leads. So now it's my turn to be in the hot seat and get grilled by Tony Booth. So let's get into it.
Today, we have a special guest with us, Dave Sullivan. Many of you know Dave. He's the host of The Roofer Show. We talked about that a few weeks ago when Dave had me on his show and we did a little interview. And I know a bunch of you are now listening to Dave. And so Dave was a successful roofing contractor and now is the host of his podcast. So welcome to the coffee shop chat, Dave.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Great to be here.
Hey, Kim, before we jump in, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about, you know, Dave and, you know, your background and what got you going here?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in a family roofing business, small company here in Oakland, California. Worked on the roofs during high school and summers. Went to business school at Cal Berkeley. And when I got out of that, went into business with my father briefly, and then he had a heart attack, unfortunately. And I really never got a chance to learn the ropes of the business. So I was kind of out there floundering on my own, trying to run this thing. It wasn't easy, I'll tell you. But I ended up getting a consultant to come in and help me out. And that really changed everything. We came up, started forming business plans, really getting the business down, started growing, and we were off and running from there.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can get accomplished when you reach out for a little help and get somebody that's kind of been down the path before.
You don't want to have to go on that road by yourself. It's pretty treacherous.
Yeah. So before we jump into what we want to talk about today, I like to kind of get the guests warmed up with a couple little questions here and you know, relate it to contracting. So the first one is, what do you find to be one of the most challenging aspects of construction?
The problem that we always had in the roofing business, and I think it's true for any construction, I call it the three-legged stool, where you have to sell work, you produce work, and you have to keep score. And the idea is that that stool has got to be strong. But what happens is one of the legs usually weakens, and that could be, we've got all this work, but we don't have the people to do it. And that's the real problem right now, is finding good, you know, talent to put the roofs on. Or you can have all the people and you don't have the work. And that's the weak leg. Or now we're booming. We got work. We got the guys to do it, but we can't get the scorekeepers, the accounting department, to get us the information that we need to run the jobs or getting the bills out. So that starts falling apart. So I think the real challenge is just keeping this thing in balance, you know, keeping that stool strong.
Yeah, that whole cycle there, it's kind of a vicious cycle in some ways, right? If you land a bunch more work, all of a sudden you become a little off balanced in your stool and you got to work on your resources and then you got to work on the scorekeeping. So yeah, that certainly is. And I'm sure that many of the listeners have can relate to a story like that and a challenge like that.
Yeah, it's just really
what have you found to be the most rewarding thing about construction?
Well, I'm retired now, and I love this business. It was great. And I think the idea of starting off, you're almost starting off with a blank canvas. You can make it whatever you want. In my business, what I really wanted to do after seeing my father, who was really chained to the business, had more of a rake structure where all the decisions were coming through him, I wanted to do it differently. I wanted to build an organization where we have systems in place, people would do their jobs, and I could somewhat get out of the way from the day-to-day operation. And that's really what I did. My goal was I wanted to travel. This is
awesome.
A business that really allowed me not only to spend time with my kids and watch them grow up. My dad was just always working, and so many contractors just get so buried in the business that they don't have time to do the things that they want. Watching my kids grow up, being able to travel, something my father always wanted to do, but didn't have the health to do it when he finally had the time. That's what's been the most rewarding for me, just to have the time to do those things that I wanted to do.
And right, to be able to structure the business and get it established in a way that allowed you to do what you wanted to do. That's awesome. So the main topic I wanted to talk about today is defining your ideal client. When you first reached out to me a month or so ago and introduced yourself, I went to your website and I downloaded your ebook, 7 Simple Steps to Get More Leads. And for those of you listening, we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But Dave, that was a great resource that's available for free. It was awesome. And what I found really fascinating in the book, and it's something that we discuss here at the Contracting Coachcast, is the whole concept around Mr. Big, your ideal client. And so that's what I really would love to dig into a little bit today, if that sounds like a good idea to you.
You bet. Well, I think it's something that's just critical for everybody's business, because we started off, as I say, you know, we're just kind of struggling. So I'd sell a roof to anybody that would buy, and we'd do residential, we'd do commercial, we'd do anything.
I've been there and done that myself, from driveways to parking lots and stuff when I was doing civil work. And if you happened to call my number, I was going to come sell you something, even if it was, you know, landscape in the backyard, even though I wasn't a landscaper. So
exactly.
What prompted you to really start to develop such a targeted approach to finding your clients?
Well, this is the help of our consultant that came in, and what he did, really asked the question, where do you make your money? Well, selling roofs. He says, well, let's break it down. I always thought we made our best money in residential, not commercial. Well, it turned out when we broke them out and really looked at the two as a separate division, as a separate profit center, we realized that we were actually losing money on the residential side and making our money in commercial. Once we got rid of the whole residential thing and stopped selling residential services and focused on the commercial, things really took off.
Yeah, that's and I see that a lot. People don't really pay attention enough to the cost and where they're really making their money. Once you started really focusing on that right client, were you able to see some quick results out of that?
Oh yeah, it just really changed everything. So in my ebook, what I call it, you know, target marketing, the who, where, what, and why. The what is, as we said, What do we sell? Where do you really make your money? Because there's a term that the riches are in the niches. And when you niche down and really focus in on what you do well and be the best at it, I think that's where you really make your money.
That's for sure. And I know from reading the book that you kind of, you looked at commercial, but you even went a step further and really kind of defined that you were wanting to work for the owner, not as a subcontractor and stuff like that. Did you screen your clients and what kind of process did you have for that?
Well, we took a hard look at all of our clients. Generally, if you really take a look, you can use the 80-20 rule where it's 20% of your customers that are making 80% of your profits. And there's a lot of clients that are just, they're pains in the rear. You know, they take all your time. They argue. They complain about every little thing. When we focused down and what we did, we called it our avatar, that one client. Who's your best client? And what if we had 100 just like them? We focused down, we called him Mr. Big just as a joke. We took, if we had one ideal customer, what would it look like? For us, the important things were, you know, we wanted to have, we didn't work for general contractors, so we wanted to work directly for the building owner. We did commercial roofing, so we had a specific size that we wanted to do that we could really focus in on. We had basically a radius where it had to be within those in that area. On and on it goes. One that would pay bills, one that was an investor. He wasn't a property flipper, so we knew that he wanted to buy good quality work. And I think what's really important to think about is they're going to refer you to like-minded people. So when you get your target customer, they know others that want to buy value. If you're focused, you keep selling to guys that are always looking to beat you down on the price, they're going to refer you to like-minded people that are also going to beat you down. And he's going to pass it along. These guys are really cheap. And you're just going to get more and more of those guys.
Yeah, because they're out having their little drinks or a glass of wine with the same people that do business like them. And they're like, hey, I found a new roofing sucker here. He works really cheap. Yeah. So on that screening process, it sounds kind of like a go, no go when you had a potential client, you know, come in or a target client. It sounds like you kind of put them through almost a checklist type filtering system and made sure they checked all the boxes.
Exactly. We've all had those clients that we've gone out and we've sold them a job and you just have that bad feeling in your stomach and you know something's going to go wrong. By really kind of doing more, and we had a script that they would find out, so you know, where did the lead come from, you know, what type of job it was, what kind of work you're looking for. We would be able to just kind of check it out by Google Earth and take a look at it. We'd had this process where it's like, it really doesn't fit into exactly what we're doing. And we would refer them to another company that was more into that type of work.
So right, we were pretty suited focused. Their work.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what we found was if you're trying to be everything to everybody, you're running around putting out these quotes, you're just sticking them in the mail, your close rate is going to be really poor. And what we did, when we focused down, we had the time to spend with the prospect and we're able to sell the work. We closed more deals, or we had more time, we were less stressed out, spend more time with the prospects that were more of our ideal clients. We sold more. We also made a lot more money.
I'm sure. And you got a chance to really sell them on the value that you brought to the table. So I know a lot of people listening are probably thinking and scratching their heads like, you know, I get it. I understand the importance here, but I don't have enough work now. So how can I start turning down work? When you first started to move to this kind of really narrow focused niche, did you have a similar concern?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's hard to walk away from a job. At some point, you've got to say no. And we, as contractors, we have a real hard time saying no. We know who our ideal customer is that we want to go after. then it's just a matter of going out and finding where they are and marketing to those type of people, whether it's in a affluent neighborhood. In our case, they were building owners. We were able to find them, you know, through tax records. You can find out who owns the building and so forth.
Right. So
we were able to do it that way. But the idea is to have enough leads, have enough lead flow coming in that you can pick and choose. By targeting your marketing on those type of people, you're just getting more leads and you can choose. And that's, you know, that's where you want to be. So you've got to produce that lead flow.
And yeah, and I would think the whole lead process actually becomes a little easier once you've defined such a target market, because you're not taking a database of 20,000 or 30,000 potential customers and trying to figure them out. You've got a very detailed idea of who you're looking for, which makes it much easier to find them.
Exactly. You know, we call it the spray and pray, you know, where you're
yeah.
throwing stuff out on the wall, seeing what sticks. You got this big net that you're pulling all this in, and you're just going to get a lot of garbage by doing that, as opposed to really laser focusing on that ideal customer.
Yeah. Now, when you started the transition, did you kind of like define Mr. Big and then do it all at one time? Or were you just slowly weeding out those non-desirable contracts as you brought more of the desired opportunities in?
Exactly. It's a process. It takes time. And as I say, it's always hard to turn down those jobs, even though you know you should. But it takes a little time, but you can get it. And it starts, with really defining who it is that you want to go after. So what we did, we got everybody together and said, okay, what kind of customers are our best? Who are our most profitable? Who do we want to work with? Who has more repeat business, lifetime value, who they're going to refer us to? So getting that really focused down, the more leads that you can pull in that are more targeted, you can kind of pick and choose. But it is a process. It takes time, and you've got to get those leads coming in.
Right. So it takes a little time, but obviously, you know, like anything else, things that are worthwhile take a little investment. But I could see where you could start out kind of with your current deal flow and then really start focusing on those right leads and work your way out of pricing to those ones that don't fit. Now, did you do a regular review of like who the avatar was so that you could keep fine tuning that? Was there a process that you followed there as well?
Yeah, we would constantly talk about it in our meetings, and I kept pretty close tabs. We had a sales force of 5 guys. So when the leads were coming in, I was checking them, make sure that they were screened properly, and we would talk about them and see if these are things that we actually wanted to go out and, put numbers on, because that takes a lot of time and it takes away from spending the time on your good prospects.
Yeah. And I would think to everybody out there, as you're contemplating something like this, is not to get too concerned about having the 100% ideal, this is the only client I will ever work for again thing, but just to understand that we're, you know, finding that ideal client, and we're going to continue to evolve who that person, that avatar is.
You're going to find that your profits, they're going to go way up, as does your close rate on the people that you want to spend the time with.
And I would think your estimates get so much more accurate when you're in that niche. And, you know, like I know yours was 35,000 square foot, roofs. And I mean, you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. So your efficiency had to go up. Your estimating had to get easier. I just see so many benefits to something like this.
Sure. We've both seen the contractors that here's this really big job, for instance, and they get enamored by these. Everybody wants to be the biggest in town, right? And have these big projects for their ego. And they start getting outside the type of work that you do well. And that's where you really get spanked. And we've all been there. You know, we're doing something that we're not comfortable with. Let's say it's a new roofing system. It's tough.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I really, I mean, that's some great information. So you've convinced me this is the right thing to do. So, but, you know, how do I define that right client? I mean, what are some of the, like the first steps that you did? I know you touched briefly on it, but can you kind of like say, okay, here's what you need to do?
Well, you could start off with who's your favorite client? Who do you enjoy working with? Who's the most profitable? And take a look at what kind of qualities those are.
Now, that's very important. You know, they say, you know, do what you love and you don't work a day in your life. I mean, that's so true there. That part I hadn't really thought about, but yeah, I would, man, that's so true. If I did what I really, the types of projects I really love to do and just focused on those, then it would seem to be a great way.
It is. It, you know, this business doesn't have to be a grind. There's so many clients out there that are looking to buy quality. Not everybody buys on price. Most people really don't. And you got to go find those people and have the time to show them why you're different than your competition, why you're better, why you provide the value and you're worth the extra price. If you're running around shooting out bids left and right, you know, you're just shoving them in the mail, that's not going to work. You know, you're just totally stressed out and you don't have time to show people why you're worth the value.
Yeah, and then the contractor that's smart and has the time is going to swoop right in and steal that client from you anyway because they actually took the time to engage with the client. And you didn't stand a chance because you ran in real fast, ran out real fast, shot them an email with a quote, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, and then you got to drive down the street and see their job sign in front of their house. You know? Hate that feeling.
Yep. So if I want to get started, what are, you know, to help the listeners here and, you know, what are like the first step or two that they should take to really get themselves headed in this direction of really working with their ideal clients?
It's really just kind of thinking through who are the people that you like? What are those qualities? What are the qualities of the customers that you don't like? The ones that are causing you all the problems? The ones that you should actually fire, you know?
Yeah.
You want to weed those guys out. And like I say, it's always hard to say no, but in the end, it's just going to be, it's going to be better for everybody.
Yeah. So we just need to, you know, I mean, to me, I think it'd be, I'd sit down with a notepad and I just start writing down the different types of projects I work on and the different clients and, you know, stars and X's and figure out who I really liked and then use that to define my avatar.
Exactly. And that's where eventually you're going to come up with that one ideal customer and all the qualities that you're looking for. And everybody's not going to fit that perfect match, obviously, but you start to get a feel of the qualities that you want in a customer. And the ones that you don't, the ones you want to shy away from, the ones that you want to push off to your competitors, let them have the headaches.
Awesome. Yeah. And so, and I've got one other great tip for them to get started on this is to make sure they download your book, because I know you outlined it pretty good in the way that you presented your avatar can really give them a great framework of making their own. So the next thing I had, you know, okay, we kind of got this avatar now. So, you know, once you figure that out, I guess the marketing becomes a little easier. So what do you do then? Just really, you know, what's next? Just go knock on their doors or what?
Well, once you know who you want to market to, you want to find out where they hang out. Where do you find these people? Well, like I say, maybe if you're looking for an affluent neighborhood, for instance, there's ways to target that neighborhood, whether it's, you know, direct mail, you know, knocking on doors, whatever. You're focusing your time there. Or maybe, you know, they're hanging out at the soccer field with their kids, and that maybe that's your target. And maybe you want to do some advertising there.
Yeah, if you find that your ideal customer is those clients that it's a married couple with 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, you know, then yeah, that's a great start, right? Go to the you know, they're taking their kids to these school activities and these, athletic activities. So get involved there and it's a great opportunity.
Exactly. It's, you know, where do they hang out? For us, what we did with that commercial market as I said, we can go to the tax records and we can sort by, first thing is multiple building owners. Okay. We wanted buildings that were at least 20 years old or 15 years old, for instance, because we knew that the roofs were starting to get old. We wanted owners, not renters. So we could sort by that. We could sort by size. You can sort by so many things, you know, in a certain area. And once you have that list, you realize that's a pretty big list, first off, that of the people that we're targeting. And then it's just a matter of how do you find those people? Where do they hang out? You know, you've got BOMA, you've got organizations that you can.
Right. You got associations, you have, you know, charitable events in the community and stuff like that, that a lot of businesses get involved in. And I mean, there's just, when you have that to me is the exciting part, is if I have such a small, you know, at least a defined target like that, and you can even, you know, that's where social media can even come in, and you can pay attention to somebody and, you know, find out who you may know through LinkedIn that may know that somebody that works at that company, and, you know, use the networking tools that are out there to really just put yourself in the right place to get in front of that ideal client. Well, that's some great stuff. The book is fabulous. I really think it was an amazing resource for contractors. And I really thank you so much for sharing that with this community. I'd like to, now you do your podcast called The Roofer Show. And as I said in the beginning, I know a lot of you out there listening today have heard it or heard about this before, but I know some of you may not have had a chance. So Dave, can you tell us a little bit about the Roofer Show and, you know, a little bit about the podcast?
Sure. Yeah. As I mentioned, I was retired as a roofing contractor for 30 years. I loved the business, but I sold my company, been retired for about 5 years. And it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for. You know, you may just get it because I got a lot of time on my hands. I was kind of bored and wanted to kind of get back in the industry. I'm always looking to learn, and I enjoy talking to people, doing what we're doing right here, Tony. I mean, this is great, just chatting away. And the podcast, there's just nothing out there specifically for roofing contractors. And so many contractors, not only in roofing, but, you know, all of the different trades, most of the guys came up through the trades. They were, in my case, guys that were roofing. They said, well, this looks easy. I'll just start my own business. You know how that works. And they never really had the education for business and learned about how to run a business, which is, as we know, what it's all about. It's what you do, which is why if they need your services as a coach, it just makes all the difference in the world.
So on your podcast, and I know I've listened to many of them, but can you share with the audience just so they understand? I mean, this is more than just something that roofers can get value out of.
Oh, yeah. The idea is that I help roofing contractors build a more profitable, stronger business. And it's an interview show where I have guests come on. Sometimes I'll have attorneys talking about legal issues that we face in the business. I have a lot of marketers because things change. They change really fast, and you got to stay up on what's the latest. I really enjoy having these guys on. We talk about what's working, what's not, what's new, and the ideas that our listeners, our contractors, can benefit and learn what's going on. I had a great tax guy the other day. You know, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. He came up with a great tax plan for contractors, and we've talked about that. Safety consultants come on and talk about fall protection and so forth, all the problems that we have, what are the latest laws. So it's that type of a show. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I learn a lot, and I think it helps a lot of contractors also, just like what you're doing, Tony.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I said, I know I listened to a couple. I had one that was on there about job costing and stuff. So there's just so much great content there for any contractor. So any of you out there listening, if you're, doesn't matter what you do in the contracting industry, I can assure you that Dave and his guests do have some great nuggets for you as well that you can take and adapt. And it was neat to me to hear some of your guests, Dave, and, you know, we talk along a lot along the same lines and a lot of the same recommendations. One other thing before we, kind of wrap up on your podcast and stuff, do you do more than just the podcast? I mean, is there other stuff that you do?
Well, I've just started the podcast and I'm just kind of getting back into the industry, getting back with the contractors that I knew before. And what I found was they really need a lot of help. And so I've been just doing some mentoring, helping contractors out. I think eventually I want to get into doing some coaching similar to what you're doing, where we can really help contractors build their businesses, hopefully help them avoid some of the mistakes that, that you and I made as we were coming up. Here are some shortcuts.
Yeah. So, kind of like you did in the beginning, you talked about in the beginning when you found yourself all of a sudden there running the roofing business, that you got that consultant in to help guide you. And I can see where, and that's great that you're there to help other contractors with that same. It's kind of like paying it back, right? You're now in the position where you can use your expertise and knowledge to help other contractors that are out there. So that's awesome.
What really helped me, as I said, was bringing in a consultant, but we would have to fly them out. It was so expensive that the cost is prohibitive for a lot of contractors. And what's great about technology now is we just get on a phone call, get on Skype. We can help these people inexpensively. And just kind of, I think a lot of it is also having being held accountable. The great thing about coaching is you've got somebody it's kind of like having a board of directors where they can help guide you along. You've got some other input, some things that you may not have seen.
Yep.
Allows you to kind of see the forest through the trees. And that coaching is great because it's a lonely, lonely world out there when you're running your own business, because there's nobody to talk to. Your friends don't understand it. Nobody can really appreciate the struggles, the stress, the loneliness, the questioning yourself all the time. Am I making the right decisions?
That's what I was going to say. That was the biggest problem I always, struggled with, is that constant questioning in my mind, like, oh my gosh, is this really working? What am I doing wrong? And you're right. Having that coach is such a great opportunity to have somebody to keep you accountable and answer those questions. So,
exactly.
So that's awesome. So if they want to, anybody wanting to talk to you about coaching, I'm sure they can just send you an email and stuff, and we'll get to the contact info here shortly. But
yeah, that's great.
Listening to your show, you kind of work a lot the same way I do. Anybody's more than welcome to reach out to you and, send an email and reach out and ask questions. So anybody out there, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the Roofer Show, I certainly say it's well worth the time. You'll get plenty of knowledge and get over there and listen to it and feel free to reach out to Dave with any questions. Before we wrap up, Dave, I like to do a couple little fun things just to – kind of lighten the mood here so everybody can go off and go to work. What do you like to do outside of work that helps you unwind and recharge your batteries?
Well, I live out in California, about 3 hours outside of Lake Tahoe. So we spend a lot of time up there. I've been snow skiing since I was probably 10 years old, and still do. And I'm still getting about 40 ski days a year. So we do a lot of skiing in the winter.
Oh, that's awesome. I grew up skiing as well, and I love getting out there. I was out in Tahoe this past Christmas season. I went out there with the family. What a beautiful place.
It is, and it's a great year round. You got to find a sport, something that you enjoy doing, because when you get into that phase, eventually everybody's going to leave the business. They're going to retire.
Yep.
You need to have some hobbies, some other things to do, because so many contractors get to that end and they don't like what they see. Well, man, I got all this time on my hands. What am I going to do? You see that a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I always try to make sure people remember to take a little bit of that time, even when we're busy. We can't get caught up too much where we're spending way too much time on the business, because we just burn out and we kind of lose focus.
You've got to get those systems in place, the people in place, and really get out of the way and let them do their jobs.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. So one little last thing I love to have my guests do is just leave a little, you know, give a little parting piece of advice to people in the construction industry to help them advance. You know, what are some of that key advice that you got years ago that stuck with you?
Yeah, some of those trips and falls that I had. Well, like I said, I think you can't do this alone. You've got to have good people if you're going to grow your business. If you're just working for wages, that's a different story. It's not a business. You're just, you know, it's a job. But if you want to build a company that is going to provide you the lifestyle that you want, also build something that you can use and you can sell to support you in your retirement, you've got to have good people, good systems in place where everybody knows what the jobs are. That allows you to step back and let them do their job. It's tough getting good employees. And it's hard to retain them. Make sure, I think that's one thing I can pass along, is to treat your employees well. They're out there. They're gonna make or break your business. It's not just paying them well, but it's showing them the respect, giving them the opportunities, a career path. That's the key. That's what makes this business enjoyable. It makes it a lot easier.
That's awesome advice. That's for sure. Because it is, construction is all about the people. I mean, we can't do it without them. So thanks again, Dave. I really appreciate you so much taking the time to be on the show. And I know we talked a couple times in about doing some more of this together and helping both of our communities out. So I'm sure that I'll be bugging you some more to get you back on here. But before we leave today, can you just share with everybody, you know, how to get in touch with you, how to find your podcast, and the easiest way to connect with you?
Sure. My website is theroofershow.com, and you can go to that. You can listen to the shows there. Both our shows are on iTunes, so you can always pick it up there and listen to it, hopefully download them, and have a listen. My shows are about 20-30 minutes, so it's a pretty quick listen when you're driving around to the jobs. You can contact me directly at dave@theroofershow.com. I've got a couple of free downloads that you can check out, and one of them's what we've been talking about, the 7 steps to get more qualified leads. You're welcome to do that. It's 160 pages worth of stuff. It took me a while to put together, but I really enjoyed it. And I've got another download what I put up recently, which is called the one-page business plan. I like that because it asks some questions about where you want to take your business, how you're going to get there, kind of a roadmap. And it's simple, it's easy, it's one page just to get you started on the process of planning. So those are both available on my site. Love to have you check out the show.
That's awesome. And yes, Elite Nation, I'm going to have all that stuff. I'll get those in the show notes, the links, Dave's email and everything, as well as links to his show and his website, so you can check it out. It's amazing. If you do nothing else, at least download the ebook and read that thing. I'm going to tell you, once you do, you see the resource that's there. It's amazing. You'll want to listen to the show and get to know Dave better because it's just great opportunity to get some great business knowledge. And so make sure you check that out and reach out to Dave if you got questions, if you want to know more about what we talked about today. Obviously, you can reach out to me as always, but you know, check with Dave directly and reach out to him. And anybody, if you're, you know, want to talk to him a little bit about coaching, please do. I mean, we're both in this to kind of help you, the contractors out there, grow. So we're here for that. Dave, again, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Tony, great chat. Anytime, happy to do it. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's it. That's it for today's show. And if you want to get the ebook that we talked about in today's episode, you can go to my website at theroofershow.com and download it for free and get your copy of the 7 steps to getting more qualified leads for your roofing business. Well, thanks for coming by today. I really appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time on The Roofer Show.